Hello everyone. We're beginning with Blessed One's webinar commentaries number 12. We're on page 42 of Esoteric Psychology Volume 2. And we have finished discussing these extracted words and descriptors, terse phrases, which DK has extracted from the actual stanzas, or at least he has essentialized the meaning of the stanzas in a few short, terse phrases, which get right to the point of the overall meaning, both involutionarily and evolutionarily. The monad is making its pilgrimage into the egoic lotus and into the lower worlds. All consciousness, really, of the personal and soul kind is attenuated monadic consciousness. The true being and the only being involved is the monad. Of course, we are we have a substanding of that consciousness in the soul by the solar angel, which contributes the principle of I-ness and facilitates the development of soul consciousness, and also cooperates with the human monad in the facilitating its development in the lower worlds. So now we reach those particular phrases for Ray 6 and maybe 7, but perhaps we can do that. But first we will look at the actual stanza and then compare it with the terse phrases which have been used to epitomize the meaning of the stanza. Ray 6. The Blessed One caught the vision of the way and followed the way without discretion. Fury characterized his efforts. The way led down into the world of dual life. Between the pairs of opposites he took his stand, and as he swung, pendant between them, fleeting glimpses of the goal shone forth. He swung in mid-heaven. He sought to swing into that radiant place of light where stood the door upon the higher way, but ever he swung between the pairs of opposites. He spoke at last within himself. The phase of self-consultation which always precedes a reorientation. I cannot seem to find the way. I try this way and tread with force that way, and always with the keenest wish. I try all ways. What shall I do to find the way? A cry went forth. It seemed to come from deep within his heart. Tread thou, O pilgrim, on the way of sensuous life, the middle lighted way. It passes straight between the dual worlds. Find thou that narrow middle way. It leads you to your goal. Seek that perceptive steadiness which leads to proved endurance, adherence to the chosen way, and ignoring of the pairs of opposites will bring this Blessed One upon the lighted way into the joy of proved success. Okay. So now we look at what the extracts tell us, and I think violence, fanaticism, willful adherence to an ideal. Well, we can see that this does not refer to really primitive man. Matter of fact, these we can say that these stanzas, even though the monad has taken a plunge into the lower worlds via the soul, do not refer to the very, very earliest stages. The man is beginning to think a little before the second paragraph of the stanzas really take hold. So even in the first stanza, we find that just the first couple of sentences describe the descent into the five lower worlds and especially into the three lower worlds. He caught the vision of the way. He followed the way without discretion. Fury characterized his efforts. The way led down into the world of dual life. So there he is anchored, immersed, confined to the world of dual life. But the very next sentence implies a considerable degree of evolution, taking his stand between the pairs of opposites, because how in the world would he even know there was a higher of the pairs of opposites unless he had passed through the hall of ignorance together already? So in terms of the time over which this stanza has an application, it's a long time. And in this particular case, just the first few sentences represent the process of involution and the earliest days strictly on the evolutionary path before it's possible to think of a higher alternative. Already in the first paragraph, he is thinking of a higher alternative. He's even envisioning the way of higher evolution, at least some way that leads him out of his trap in the lower worlds, torn by contrasting pulls. Okay, so violence, well, you know, this is such a Martian ray. And, of course, the great danger always of the sixth ray is fanaticism. With blinders of every fanatic divine adventure, as it is said. And the will and intense desire come together here, so an ideal is envisioned, and with all the personal will that this type has, he fixes his sight and his intention upon the achievement of that ideal. So the will is mobilized to fulfill a personal ideal. Well, the long-distance vision, the possibility of seeing the distant goal, is not his at first. So he sees only what is before his eyes. Seeing, as he says, only what is before his eyes. And he's attracted by and reacts to the immediate scene. He has no patience to see through and beyond the immediate presentation. So so eager is he to move that he accepts what is before his eyes and does not wait to see if there is a more distant and truer vision. Militarism, there's Mars again, and the tendency to make trouble with others and with groups, and this is called the glamour of interference. I was once sitting waiting in a waiting room to see a doctor, and I was kind of tired, and I was closing my eyes and just waiting. The next thing I knew, a young woman was poking me, you know. Just, "You're meditating, aren't you? I saw you. You're meditating." Well, this was going to be a great sin to meditate in a waiting room. You know, she was of the strongly Christian persuasion, and for her, meditation was bad. And, of course, she really displayed the glamour of interference. I mean, you know, who was I to her? No one, a complete stranger. But she saw something which was contrary to her ideal, and she was going to intervene and make sure it did not continue. We got into an interesting discussion. I think I took the second ray perspective hopelessly. The power to see no point except one's own. Well, obviously, rejecting a balanced point of view, so fixed, so adhering to the, what do they call it in psychology? Cathected. Cathected vision, that there is no energy remaining to consider the alternative. And cathexis is attraction of the desire energy. It is an adherence through desire to a particular point of view or objective. The power to see no point except one's own. This is the, you know, very essence of fanaticism, and there is no, it's so one-pointed that one cannot divide the attention. One refuses to divide the attention by considering the other point of view or alternatives. Suspicion of people's motives, that's because in a way there is no true psychology and no true understanding of others. So they're either, one is living in a world which is hostile to one's ideals, one has the fighting spirit and always imagines that hostility, and before really looking at another to see what that other is thinking or intending, there is the notion that the other may be the enemy and is somehow trying to undo the fulfillment of one's own ideals. So it's a battleground. Both the sixth ray and the fourth ray have that battleground consciousness, but the fourth ray aims eventually towards harmony. So battleground consciousness. And, you know, insufficient knowledge of the psyche of others. And only one thing is important. So if another does not show immediate enthusiasm for one's point of view, then the opposite must be the case, and it is disguised. Now, this can lead to paranoia, which the sixth ray type shares with the first ray types. It is a wariness lest one's position be in some way attacked or overcome by others. And if there were sufficient psychology to really understand what another is thinking, but there's such an insulation with one's attention to only one thing that there's no room to really receive the impact of what another is doing, the impression, let's call it, of what another is doing. So it's a simplistic state of mind, really. And again, it's if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you do not obviously demonstrate that you are with me, then I have no room for subtlety in my mind. You are most certainly against me. And this suspicion of other people's motives, all this is really coming from a state of vulnerability and fear of being lost forever, of getting off the true path and being held in hell or some negative state forever. So the dualistic mind is very much here. Heaven or hell. And if I deviate, it is hell, and I fear others are intending to make me deviate. So it's like looking for the devil or Satan under every rock, and this kind of notion that we've had these days that certain people that with whose ideas you don't agree are really lizards or reptiles. behind their human face. The imagination, the unbridled imagination, gets involved here, and rationality does not check it. So, rapid reaction to glamour and illusion, so not discriminating, and running with the first thing felt or seen, which is erroneous. And not taking the patience to analyze, no patience to analyze. Emotional devotion. Then this is not mental devotion. This is the full tide of the magnetized solar plexus. And bewildered idealism, not seeing clearly the objective. Later, of course, we will have seek that perceptive steadiness which leads to true endurance. But there is no perceptive steadiness here yet. There is a superheated desire to go towards one objective, but which objective really is it? And along the way, how does this ideal fit with other ideals? What is one really doing in the world? One is lost in one's own idealism. The good old days. So, and it's all driven by the fire of the solar plexus. So there's the old saying, more light and less heat. But the solar plexus is the center of heat and can at first, until calmed, obscure the vision. Okay, and then vibratory activity between the pairs of opposites. You know, now one thing and now very much the opposite. It's a bit like the fourth ray in this respect. But there is maybe even more intensity, more solar plexus intensity in the attraction to either of the pairs of opposites. It's so interesting to me how some people that are raised in a strict fundamentalist household rebel against that and turn to the so-called devil, or just the opposite. You know, some people that encounter early the devil, alcohol, sin, sex, all the rest of it, they have this conversion, and they go then in a one-pointed and undeviating manner towards God, towards heaven, towards the holy, towards the pure, and so forth. They do not, like the fourth ray, realize at some point, like Swami Vivekananda did, that these opposites are really part of both, part of one thing. It's very rare to produce inclusive idealism in the sixth ray type until a much higher state of evolution. Then we have the intense capacity to be personal and to emphasize personalities. Why? Because not seeing into the spiritual worlds and not feeling the spiritual presence. In other words, adherence to the obvious, the material lunar nature. And not having any talent for a vision of unification, seeing that the soul within the idealized personality and feeling the unity of that soul on a level with all other souls, and certainly not seeing to the homogenizing spirit, if you will, the spirit that manages to understand that essence is one regardless of diverse quality. And there's always the fear of being lost, you know. Always the fear of being lost and thus grabbing at the first thing. the leader, the Führer. So when others come up to you on the path and say, lead me and others to the light, and you're very disillusioned, you know, you may look for a leader at first to help lead you and the other, but pretty soon you find yourself to be the leader because there's no other leaders in sight. And this is something that the sixth ray type really has to learn. It's so easy to follow others that promise spiritual safety. So we can say there's so much fear that there is the tendency to follow others immediately if they promise spiritual safety. I mean, you know, like if you follow me, we'll save your soul. If you follow me, you'll go to heaven. If you follow me, you'll learn the truth. Otherwise, you will be lost in error and you will go to hell and so forth. There are people in the world, literally, for whom the heaven-hell duality is blazingly real. And I was just reading something that it was in one of these Middle Eastern countries that if you women don't dress modestly, you will go to hell. Now I'm just trying to fathom the primitivity of that way of thinking. Obviously, there's been no real thought about what a man or a woman is, and the differentiation between them is simply on a bodily basis, yet alone the psyche, you know. I mean, well, maybe women have half a soul, you know. Some people in those groups could think so, but the whole idea of reincarnation is utterly unknown and violently rejected, because you don't get immediate salvation with reincarnation. You have to work your way up and out, so the responsibility falls back on you, and you're not going to be led to salvation through your belief or through some stronger than you that reduces you to the level of a child and protects you all the time. It is a phase, we might say. Well, what does this lead to? Directed inclusive idealism. In other words, not just following this and that, not superficial following, and not exclusive idealism, but an idealism which broadens and includes and which seeks the welfare of others. You can see it moving towards the second ray, which the sixth ray does, not necessarily in its monadic aspect. Well, of course, it is possible that these, what I call subsidiary monadic rays, 1 through 7, can change. The monadic ray, which I think cannot change, or at least does not change throughout the eon, is the, or maybe it doesn't change at all, is the major monadic ray, which I think is 1 of the 3. There's a lot of confusion on these points. You know, sometimes he says, well, as you go further, you resolve necessarily on 1 of the 3 soul rays, the 1, 2, 3, but you can take the 4th initiation on any 1 of the 7. So how far do you have to go before you resolve onto 1 of the 3? And all monads are of 3 types, and yet here are 7 monadic impulses, 7 blessed ones, 7 great circles on the monadic plane, each containing, I suppose, billions of monads. Anyway, there is a keen sense of direction based on vision and not obscuration. So this direction is based upon a clarifying vision or a clear vision. And we have the ideal, instead of to exclude those who do not believe as we do, we have the ideal that there must be a basis for their inclusion. Perhaps as all children of the one God, or all sons and daughters of the one Father, that kind of thing. All human beings, you know, all sharing the same aspiration. Some form of higher idealism will enter here that will allow the inclusive factor to take over. What else? Steadiness of perception through an expansion of consciousness and seek that perceptive steadiness. Remember, that's the phrase. And we can have, an orientation which does not relent. And that which we see constantly and are not thrown off the track and can still be realistic even as we see the distant vision. So let's call it the unblinking. Blinking eyes, or eye. Reaction to and sympathy with the point of view of others. There's sympathy. It's a solar plexus reaction or response. So there is a very sensitive solar plexus here, very sensitive. I'm remembering, the disciple that DK had and for whom he told of the percentages by which any one of the chakras were open. I believe he was a 6th-ray personality and astral body, and his solar plexus center was 75% open. It was the most. Of course, you rather expect that of people these days. We've come up through the lower chakras, and we've opened those chakras, then it's the higher ones we are now learning to open, and a number of the higher ones are far less open than the lower. But anyway, feeling the emotion of others due to the fact that the solar plexus rules the astral body and the 6th-ray rules the solar plexus. Willingness to see the work of people progress along their chosen lines, and this is the end of the glamour of interference. Well, in the old days during the Crusades, no one was going to let someone not be a Christian. In these days, others are not letting others be Christian. They must be Muslim. And so it has come in all of these idealistically motivated religions that the period of tolerance comes later, really quite a bit later than a period of intense intolerance, because the intolerance exists because of the fear. We have a very brittle focus point of view which, if it is challenged, could break. You can't leave the gang, we'll kill you. You can't leave the faith, we'll kill you. Why is apostasy considered a crime punishable by death? Because of the fragility of the faith, and because it's not based upon truly upon reason, and because it's based only on belief, and belief is always uncertain. But later, there is the idea that always lead to God, and this is, you can see that verging upon the rays of aspect, either the third or the second. They're both broad rays, the third and the second, whereas the sixth is at times very narrow until it becomes more educated. The choosing of the middle way, and this is finally the way of unity, oneness, synthesis, which is neither of the pairs of opposites or both. You can't, we say, well, it's not this, it's not that, and yet it's both of them, in a sense. If we look for the essence of what each one of the opposites is, we will find that something which is of the essential nature of being. Peace, not war, and we have many peace idealists today, do we not? Many peace idealists. Hopefully after objective understanding of the circumstances. At first, it's the war between points of view, between the, they may not even be in a way opposites, they may be very similar, but the ideals will clash. Sometimes you see that the fratricidal conflicts are the worst. People or religions or groups have something in common. They're not opposites at all, and yet they don't recognize that, and they fight. So you don't see that maybe so much with the fourth ray. There, it's real contrasts that are fighting it out. But often with the sixth ray, the closer they are to each other's structure, the more they may tend to fight at first. And the good of the whole and not the part. And this relates this relates to all of the rays of attribute. Because the rays of attribute tend to see in a more narrow and circumscribed manner. And they must widen their vision. We saw how very concentrated on one thing the fifth ray can be, and how the sixth ray idealizes one and only one point of view or object or teacher, but only one, always only one. So how do you begin to think in terms of the whole when you're interested in the fate of only one with which you have identified? But gradually, as we realize the relationships between things, and we may realize that the one we idealized is related to others. And the Christ said it to some of his disciples, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Well, I've had just a little difficulty here, and I'm hoping that when your audio goes off and you don't see that, you kind of wonder whether what you are saying is being heard. So I trust that is the case. Okay, then, we will continue and hope that somehow this is being transmitted. The good of the whole and not the part. Okay, so I think we can now compare these two types and see if there are some parallels on the involutionary and evolutionary path. So we have, let's see if I can make this maybe a little smaller. We can perhaps see, yes, I think here we can do that. I think I can even do this with 150, perhaps. All right, 1, 5, oh, okay. So what do we have? Violence, fanaticism, and willful adherence to an ideal. The short-sighted blindness goes along with its contrast, steadiness of perception through expansion of consciousness, wide consciousness and not a blind consciousness. Instead of making trouble with others militaristically, we have sympathy with the point of view of others. And instead of the power to see no point except one's own, there is the willingness to work with other people and see them work along their own chosen lines. Instead of the path of extremes, which fanaticism leads to, we have the choosing of the middle way. And I suppose we have a certain detachment from a long-distance perspective instead of the intense capacity to be personal and to emphasize personalities. What else? Vibratory capacity activity between the pairs of opposites? Well, in fact, the choosing of the middle way rather than the pairs of opposites. And instead of simply emotional devotion, we have sympathy, which is really feeling what's in the person rather than simply attaching one's magnetism to another person. So we can see the contrasts here, I think, pretty well. And then I'll close by just reading that again. Let's see. We're in kind of a suspended state here because I'm not sure whether this, it appears to be recording. So I'm hoping that is the case. So we'll go to the sixth ray. All right. The Blessed One caught the vision of the way and followed the way without discretion. The mind is not used, the mind is subdued. Fury characterized his efforts. It's the quality of the sixth ray. The way led down into the world of dual life, and in that state of consciousness so many remain today, trapped in the inability to conceive of the whole and to conceive the apparently warring dualities as two aspects of the same whole. Between the pairs of opposites, largely soul and personality here, he took his stand. Even between soul and the material impulse. He took his stand, and as he swung, pendant between them, fleeting glimpses of a goal shone forth, because he loves the high way. He loves the idea of the highest light, which is to control. He swung in mid-heaven, you know, neither in the higher worlds or in the very lowest. He sought to swing into that radiant place of light where stood the door upon the higher way, the door that admits to the higher way of evolution, way of higher evolution, even the door beyond the third degree. But he could not do so because he was pulled back. But ever he swung between the familiar pairs of opposites. Now he consulted within himself. He spoke at last within himself. I cannot seem to find the way. I try this way and tread with force that way, never with moderation, always putting your full energy release into whichever way you're going and trampling many things as you go along, and always with the keenest wish, the most focalized, canalized intensity of emotional longing. I try always, what shall I do to find the way? It's like the third ray, as I've said before, looking up along the line instead of the many lines which in the space of eons you have woven. A cry went forth, a longing. It seemed to come with deep within the heart. It is the longing of the soul. Tread thou, O pilgrim, on the way of sensuous life, outwardly turned always, the middle lighted way, instead of the way of extremes which quench the light. It passes straight between the dual worlds and leads to synthesis and unity. Find thou that narrow middle way. You cannot deviate and you cannot run to extremes. It leads you to your goal, which is the monadic return. Seek that perceptive steadiness which leads to proved endurance. Then the energy will not be wasted and it can be given for the treading of the path. Adherence to the chosen way, it's an act of will, an act of mind, an act of decision, and ignoring of the pulls of the pairs of opposites will bring this returning monad, this blessed one, upon the lighted way, at last seeking the light, into the joy of proved success and freedom from those counterpulls. All right. I think what I should do, just to make things safest, I suppose, is to call this program to an end and start a new one, which for the seventh ray, because there's no guarantee here that this is really being recorded. So that is what I will do, and we'll see you very shortly. So this will be, what can we say, the end. Whoop. Okay, even that's not going to work. Okay. So this will be a shorter program. It's the end of the Blessed One's webinar commentaries number 12. And it's Esoteric Psychology 2 page. 43. All right. Page 43. And beginning of Blessed One's webinar commentaries, number 13, EP2, page 43 as well. And we hope that we can, we hope that we've been successful in this last presentation, to at least have had it recorded. That's the hope. There are all these little technical glitches that occur, and okay, there's not so much that one can do about it. At least at the present stage of technical knowledge. So we'll see you shortly, and we'll go on to Ray 7. Okay.